You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn doing the presenting, Paddy Aspel doing the punditing, and recording it for the first time, Paddy, on my phone. So this could go one of two ways, couldn't it?
Ah, yeah, I'm sure we'll muddle on and get it sorted, no problem. The winners will still be revealed nonetheless.
Fingers crossed, anyway. Now, bit of bad news for you. What, you've been in the wars, haven't you, a little bit this past week or so?
Yeah, I got...
You started off with a winner at Pontefract.
Yeah, I had a winner in Jersey Sunday.
And Jersey, right.
Yeah, flew back and had a winner at Ponty Monday. And yeah, I got fall riding out on Tuesday morning and cracked my pelvis. But because I got the fall, I got hung up. And I was telling you yesterday, it's really pulled my groin very badly.
So when you say hung up, you mean your foot was left in the stirrups?
Only briefly, but it was there long enough to get a good old kick in, and that's obviously what's cracked the pelvis and pulled my groin. But I'm finding the pulled groin far more painful. But the doctor said the pelvis itself would, although it's stable, it would, you know, takes quite long to heal, which I've not had this sort of injury before, but it's not actually that painful, but it's that's how long they tell me, but it won't take that long. I'm giving myself a month.
Okay.
They said, well, I won't even tell you what they said, but and then I won't even tell you what I said back to them, but it was quite a long time. But I'm going to Jack Berry in the morning to see Dr. Dan Crowley, and he's a top man. He'll give me more of an idea where we're at and a time scale, and mine and Dan's timings are quite sort of on a parallel as to where we're at, so I'll know more tomorrow. But yeah, that's the way it goes, you know.
Your brother's been out injured a while, hasn't he, as well?
He has, yeah. I suppose.
What did he do?
He got a fall. He got a fall at Hereford, and he broke a couple of bones in his neck. So he just had, he didn't need surgery or anything.
I remember seeing him actually on TV with a full brace on.
Yeah, he's had the collar on now for a while. And last week he said, it was last week I spoke to him, he said he'd have another couple of weeks in the collar, but it's, you know, it's a bit frustrating because May is very busy, but then by the time he gets the collar off and gets back riding, the bulk of May will be gone, and then May, it's unreal because May goes from chock-a-block jumping and then it really cuts out and stalls in June, so it's not a good time. But that said, he's had another decent year, and injury wise he was he was probably getting away with his fair share. So he's, you know, it's the way it goes, but he'll be back, no worries.
And as for yourself, you used to ride over hurdles, fences, quite a bit. Is this the worst injury you've had? It'd be the worst for a while.
Well, I mean, pain-wise, no. it's just time-wise. I was very surprised when they said, you know, they said, no, these are how long these injuries take. I suppose it's obviously a big part of your structure, isn't it? You know, your pelvis. But
what's hurt the most then?
Oh, years ago, when I was jumping, I broke the, you know, the ball
top
off.
The
humerus, yeah. That broke off, and I had to have it all plated back on. That was by far...
So upper arm.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That was by far the worst injury, most painful, and the physio, because it was such a bad injury and it needed surgery, and the arm was static for weeks and weeks. Then when the physio started, oh my word, like you thought, you know, the healing process you were well on, but then the physio, that was like, it was something I'd never like again. It was horrific to convince the arm to get moving again. it was very painful. It was the longest I've ever been out, and it was, yeah, but that was by far, I mean, I've broken legs, I've broken, but that was, yeah, definitely the worst.
So, missing out on a few rides, maybe at Thirsk tomorrow. We're going to be looking at some of the action at Thirsk. We're going to put up a nap and an express, one at Thirsk and one a little later on at Suddle as well. And just worth noting as well, Two Clear now available on all flat UK turf meetings here at William Hill, of which Thirsk is one of them. Suddle is not, unfortunately. But Thirsk, the 220 is the first race that we're going to talk about. It's a handicap over 7 furlongs. There's one horse here that arrives in flying form that we're going to talk about. That's Red Rose Zorro for Eric Alston.
Yeah, this horse is obviously, punters will know when they look at his form, he's absolutely in the form of his life, and he's going for the hat-trick tomorrow. But the one thing that sort of pushed me towards him more so than anything was the fact that Eric Alston, he's an unbelievable man to place these horses. Like, these are only horses of, you know, moderate ability, but you know, he'll win 3-4 races with this horse until obviously it runs up to the top of its mark. But then when on paper it looks like a horse is finished winning, you know, someone like Eric Alston will probably hit a flat spot through midsummer, and by back end this horse will be winning again.
Yeah,
he's an unbelievably talented trainer, a trainer I've got an awful lot of time for. And the one thing about this horse is tomorrow I was looking down through his ratings, and tomorrow he actually gets to run off 60, whereas at Catrick the other day I've struggled to work it out, he ran off 62.
Right,
tomorrow he runs off 60. Now, looking down, I looked through the conditions of the race, I really couldn't fathom it out as to what's happening tomorrow, because it was an apprentice race he won at, pretty sure it was an apprentice race at Catrick that he won there. Yeah, it was an apprentice race, and that won by 2 lengths, so obviously he's unpenalised for that.
Yeah.
But that was off a mark of, where are we at? Yeah, Red Rose Zorro. That was off a mark of 62. His previous win at Thirsk, where he's out again tomorrow, was 56. But tomorrow, his official rating, 60.
So could it be maybe that off the back of that Thirsk win, he was penalised,
a
mandatory £6 penalty, and he was actually £2 worse off?
You've got it. That's what it is. So he's carried the penalty in the apprentice race at Catrick, a course which he'd previous won at, because now actually this horse, like I said to you, he won at the back end last year, his last run was at Catrick where he won, so tomorrow he's actually going for the 4-timer. So that's it, you've hit the nail on the head. So tomorrow he's actually unpenalised because it was an apprentice race, where he was penalised. So tomorrow he gets to run off 60, which I'm not, Rachel Richardson's claim now is she takes three off, so it's running off 57. You know,
and the chances are that whatever happens here, the next time that Red Rose Zorro runs, let's say if he was to win this, he'd be running off a mark in the 70s in all likelihood.
He? So tomorrow,
so it could be very well in
tomorrow, it's actually running off £1 more than what it won 2 runs back. You know, so it's unbelievable bit of placing by Eric Alston.
Like Thirsk, well in.
Yeah.
And not up against anything in great form, really.
And it's well drawn in three, you know, because on that round course there, you've got to, especially when you've got big numbers, a low draw is perfect. And obviously this horse has won twice around Catrick, so he's going to have enough boot to hold his position. And Rachel Richardson rides again, who won in a Matt Thirsk. So for me, I think barring accidents or, you know, a very, very troubled passage, I think this horse is a cracking bet.
Okay. The other race we're going to focus on comes from Suddle. It was 7:20 we were going to talk about. 6 furlongs the trip for this one. And we're going to discuss another horse that arrives in flying form, and that is De Capo Dandy.
Yep. De Capo Dandy is... he's not been out of the money so far at all this year, and he's going for the 4-timer here. He's trained by James Ewart, but I'm pretty sure that the ex-jump jockey Barry Kinnear is played a big hand in training some flat horses.
Okay.
And there are helping train the flat horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a big involvement with this horse. And the one thing is, I know a lot of people have got their negatives about Suttle. I've got plenty of negatives about Suttle, but if you get a horse who likes that particular surface, it's like having 5 to 7 pound up your sleeve.
Yeah.
Not up your sleeve, but really in your favour. And this horse certainly fits that bracket. He loves it round here. He's a C and D winner. He's not having to give. I know, obviously, his mark has crept up now to 62.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, all round tomorrow, he's having to give away £8 to the whole field, which isn't a great deal because there's only six runners.
Yeah.
And like I said, a horse in form on a surface that he likes, it's, you know, for me, it's worth its weight in gold. And I think this horse, for me, I like to see horses drawn out. If I'm riding it so little on the round track,
mm-hmm.
I like to be drawn out wide.
Yeah.
Because it gives you the chance to be out of the kickback for a few strides at least, go and get a position. Sometimes this horse can be a little bit of a slow burner running into a race. That's the only drawback, I would say. An installed three isn't ideal because if he was out wider, he can slowly just go and get his position. But from there, he's going to have to be a little bit sharper off the mark to begin with, that he doesn't get too far in behind, and more so just get in behind the absolute bulk of the kickback.
Yeah.
But on the other hand as well, there is only six runners, so it's not going to be absolutely smashing back in his face with 20 horses in front of him. But it's funny, actually. The horse of Philip Kirby's is the horse I got the fall off last week, and I rode him at Newcastle the week before, gave him an awful ride over 7 furlongs. I was far too positive on him. He caught me by surprise, actually, because he picked up far quicker for a horse that's rated 55.
It's Captain Bob.
Yeah.
Formerly with Charles Hills, I think.
He was. He's had a few homes.
Yeah.
He's been at Jamie Osborne's. But he is what he is. I mean, he's a better horse on the grass. He was fourth at Catrick from an awful draw there the other day. But he's rated £10 higher on the grass. But purely, I think, on the all-weather, he'll win by default because he's so well handicapped off 55. And like I said, I gave him an awful ride at Newcastle, where the one track in the country you don't want to commit too soon.
Yeah.
I've done that, but he caught me by surprise by the way he quickened for a 55 horse, and in the end he's not seen the 7 out, but he still finished 4th. He was 4th again at Catrick the other day, drawn 12 of 12 over 7 furlongs, which is a wretched draw. He was never seen until literally they crossed the line and he flashed home for 4th. So at Suttle tomorrow, he's got the perfect Suttle draw in 6.
Mm.
So I'm just hoping he doesn't scupper my nap. but I think he will have an excellent chance because he is what he is. He does try, he's honest. And I think off 55, he's so well handicapped. And he's fit, obviously, because he's been kept busy. And he's got that perfect Suttle draw.
So it could be a forecast, perhaps.
Yeah. I think he will run very, very well. You know, if he can hold his position over the 6, which he should do because he's a real, real free. He's a big old brute of a horse.
Mm.
He's fairly free going at home. He should hold his position there. For me, he's the biggest danger to my nap. But I just think off 62, I think the Capo Dandy has still got another one in him to maybe take him up to the 65 bracket, you know.
De Capo Dandy, then the nap for Paddy, the next best Red Rose Zorro at Thirsk. That's the 720 at Suttle, the 220 at Thirsk. And maybe a double could well be in order. We shall see. Paddy, thanks very much for joining me. Fingers crossed you're feeling better soon, and we'll speak to you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
No worries, thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.